Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Jessica Watts, and this is the WNUR News at 6. Tonight, a deep dive into the Northwestern sailing team's journey to nationals. Mekki Leeper and Zach Fox bring stand-up and film to Northwestern students. First-year reflections, this week's concert countdown, and Fairweather Friends' Sunny Days. Those stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. On May 20th, the Northwestern University Club Sailing Team will travel to Nationals in Boston. But qualifying for the races was only half the battle, as they faced financial and logistical challenges. Amelia Donhauser has the story.
Or the ICSA, College Nationals. They will participate in the Women's and Open Fleet Race Championships. They are one of 36 teams competing. However, as one of the few club teams to qualify for the championship, they are grappling with the unique financial and logistical hurdles. The team has a wide variety of skill sets, from members who have been sailing competitively since they were young to members who haven't been in a boat prior to coming to NU. This unique aspect of the team is widely appreciated, even by the most competitive sailors. Jake Weinstein, a Weinberg first year who will be traveling with a select few to Nationals in a couple weeks, has sailed competitively throughout high school, including three summer seasons. He says watching his friends learn how to sail and share his passion is one of the reasons why he loves the team.
Really fun to like get them to watch them discover sailing and learn to sail and being able to like teach them a little bit and share this, like, because it's been such a big part of my life for 4 years, to be able to share that with them a little bit. So that's definitely something very special and unique here that we wouldn't get if we were a varsity team.
College sailing is not an NCAA sport. It is organized under the ICSA. Therefore, it is one of few sports with no divisional boundaries. Seven conferences contain both varsity D1 or D3 and club teams. In other words, club teams can compete against varsity teams in the same competition. NU is in the Midwest College Sailing Association, or the MCSA, which is composed of only club teams. Cora Starr, a Weinberg sophomore traveling to Boston, explains the process for qualifying for Nationals.
First, we had to sail in a bunch of different MCSA regattas, which basically gets us qualifying berths for the qualifier for Nationals. So these are a lot of smaller, more local regattas, so some at like Michigan or Wisconsin, as well as our own NU Spring and Becky Blank regattas. And then once we got a berth to the qualifying regatta, we sail against about the top 10 to 15 teams in the MCSA, with the top two teams going to Nationals. And this year we were lucky enough to be in that top two for women's and co-ed.
Both Starr and Weinstein say that while the MCSA is a great conference for new sailors or people who don't want to sail at a varsity level, the level of competition for them will drastically jump when they go to Boston.
But as we're going to Nationals, we're sailing against the best sailors in the country. A lot of them have plans to go to the Olympics or be pro sailors in the future. A few of them have already made Olympic campaigns. So we're going from pretty recreational racing to being with future Olympians and the best in the nation.
To prepare, they've been practicing around four times per week. Members are typically required to attend two practices weekly.
We've been also competing at a lot of regattas just to get additional training in. So recently we flew out to Boston so we could start sailing at some of the teams we'll see at Nationals.
We've been watching a lot of the videos from the Team Race Nationals, which were a couple weeks ago, and we're just trying to be at that level of the teams competing there, and so we're just doing our best to get there in time.
Because the team is classified as a club, it faces financial and logistical challenges that its varsity counterparts do not. Co-captain, sophomore Cole Abbott, voiced the difficulties they experienced in finding flights and housing.
Since we're a club team, like, we don't have, like, that much money. I don't know, almost 10 flights to Boston. Like, that's a lot of money. And also, we have to find, like, housing, which luckily we're able to find housing, like, for free with, like, a team member.
In addition, the races start on May 20th and continue throughout the week. While most other schools are done with their semesters, according to Starr, NU, Dartmouth, and Stanford are the only other schools still in classes. The difference? Dartmouth and Stanford are varsity teams.
Some of our people are having to miss an exam, so like I wish there was a little more support from the school like to help with that.
Instead, Abbott says the students going to Nationals have to negotiate with their professors, who have not been that understanding.
We're still student athletes, even though we're not a varsity team. Like, the varsity teams get all these privileges, and like they're traveling. Like, one of the professors said that the varsity people travel with a coach, or with like staff, and like they can proctor the exam. But since we're just a club team, we're not traveling with any like school employees. There's no one to proctor the exam.
They're still trying to figure out a solution, but right now Abbott says their best bet is to fly back to NU for one day to take the exam and then fly back to Boston to continue racing.
And I wish there was like more of a way that like me as a captain could like have more of a say in that, because like I really don't have much say over the professors, and like neither does like the club sports office.
Star says that she will be studying for her exams all the time she is not spending on the water.
Being at Northwestern, it makes nationals quite difficult, so I'm glad we're able to go, but we just have a lot of additional layers added onto it.
According to Abbott, the team could not afford to send their coach to Boston because of the expense.
If we could send him for free, we obviously totally would, but like to send him on a flight and then pay for his housing and pay for his food and pay for like the hours that he's working, it just is like so much money that like we're already spending a lot of money to go to nationals. Like we can't really justify that.
The team is trying to fundraise to raise money for this year and future berths to nationals.
We can fundraise saying like, oh, we're going to nationals, we need to pay for it. That's like a big opportunity.
Despite the challenges, Weinstein and Starr, who are paired together, say they are excited to test their skills against the best of the best.
There's one other team from the MCSA, so we want to just try to be sailing at a level equal or above them.
I want to feel like I have sailed well. I think we can definitely get top 10 in a race, if not in multiple. I think we can be up there.
Weinstein sees this as a way to get good experience, no matter how well they place.
Because we are coming from maybe not such a competitive region, we're not really a varsity team, we don't have kind of any kind of pressure on us, right? If we go and we get dead last, and like that's what we did. We went, we sailed, we had fun, right? We had a good time, but we don't have to go. And we're going to still go try our best, but like however we do, we do. And it's just going to be a good experience.
For WNUR News, I'm Amelia Donhausen.
Thursday saw two famous actors and writers come to Northwestern's campus to speak with students and give a sneak preview of their newest project. Gabe Shumway has more.
For A&O's Spring Speaker Event. Comedian, rapper, writer, and Abbott Elementary actor Zach Fox joined forces with jury duty actor and Emmy-nominated writer Mekki Leeper for a night of stand-up comedy, a showing of their short film FinTech, and a Q&A with students. The duo has been touring with this stand-up and screening routine.
We're really lucky that we got to have that come to life on campus for free for students, because that was a tour that obviously people had to pay tickets to go attend.
That's Weinberg Senior and A&O co-chair Janitza Luna. She says while A&O usually goes with someone in a traditional film role for their spring speaker, they elected for comedy this time around.
Since this year, with the strikes at the beginning of the year and the entertainment industry, we haven't really been able to get as many speaker events as we would have liked to, which meant this was really our only chance to do like some kind of comedy stand-up event. So we felt it tied together really well, with Mekki and Zach being in a short film together.
The two certainly attracted a large crowd for a Thursday evening. School of Communication junior Diego Goldfrank attended after being a fan of their prior work.
I love Zach Fox, Mekki Leeper too. I was a big fan of Jury Duty, big fan of Abbott, big fan of Jesus is the One, parentheses, I Got Depression.
But with a show high in demand came a student body thrilled to attend the evening's festivities.
Very like culturally relevant to kind of like the age group we're at, the interests that our crowd was able to pull together. We sold out the show in 14 minutes.
As far as the routines were concerned, both comedians had a tendency to cover controversial topics. Fox utilized political humor and elaborated on some of the allegations from Kendrick Lamar's recent diss track toward Drake. Leeper's humor varied drastically with references from Teletubbies all the way into serious mental health battles. As for the cherry on top of Fox's routine, however, well, there are 7 words that you can't say on the radio, so I'll move on. The stars were on display Thursday in Lutkin Hall for A&O's Spring Speaker Event. Comedian, rapper, writer, and Abbott Elementary actor Zach Fox joined forces with jury duty actor and Emmy-nominated writer Mekki Leeper for a night of stand-up comedy, a showing of their short film FinTech, and a Q&A with students. The duo has been touring with this stand-up and screening routine.
We're really lucky that we got to have that come to life on campus for free for students, because that was a tour that obviously people had to pay tickets to go attend.
That's Weinberg Senior and A&O co-chair Janitza Luna. She says while A&O usually goes with someone in a traditional film role for their spring speaker, they elected for comedy this time around.
Since this year, with the strikes at the beginning of the year and the entertainment industry, we haven't really been able to get as many speaker events as we would have liked to, which meant we got to, this was really our only chance to do like some kind of comedy stand-up event. So we felt it tied together really well with Mekki and Zach being in a short film together.
The two certainly attracted a large crowd for a Thursday evening. School of Communication junior Diego Goldfrank attended after being a fan of their prior work.
I love Zach Fox, Mekki Leeper too. I was a big fan of Jury Duty, big fan of Abbott, big fan of Jesus is the One, parentheses, I Got Depression.
But with a show high in demand came a student body thrilled to attend the evening's festivities.
Very like culturally relevant to kind of like the age group we're at, the interests that our crowd was able to pull together. We sold out the show in 14 minutes.
As far as the routines were concerned, both comedians had a tendency to cover controversial topics. Fox utilized political humor and elaborated on some of the allegations from Kendrick Lamar's recent diss track toward Drake. Leeper's humor varied drastically with references from Teletubbies all the way into serious mental health battles. As for the cherry on top of Fox's routine, however, well, there are 7 words that you can't say on the radio, so I'll move on. As for FinTech, it featured the pair working in Silicon Valley as idiots, as Leeper described. The two worked to sell NFTs as a sort of trading card after failing to recoup money on an investment. The show featured even more odd references, from Pokemon to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell.
I've never met a more delusional pair of dip my life.
Our team doesn't care about money. They care about making the best non-fundable totems in the world. Tokens in the world.
With his improv background in shows like Jury Duty, Leeper emphasized the joy of goofing around with his friends on a project. This was apparent with the dynamic relationships between characters and guest appearances from Jury Duty co-stars Ron Song and David Brown. Weinberg Sr. Sean Dukes enjoyed the film.
I thought it was funny. I loved like how the plot developed and how the plot thickened later.
It was also inspiring because they did it like they threw it together, like the crew, like 2 camcorders. It was sick.
The film has been picked up by Amazon and a pilot is currently in the works for it to be made into a series. Students certainly took to the show this evening with long lines to take pictures and get autographs from Fox and Leeper. At one point during the Q&A, Fox even signed a bag of Doritos. Between Leeper's work writing Jury Duty, among others, and Fox's work as a writer for The Eric Andre Show, the two continued A&O's tradition of bringing in comedic writers.
But in the past, we've had stand-up from the stars of HBO's Hacks, as well as SNL writer Sarah Sherman. So every year, we at least try to pull in some of that kind of sketch comedy stand-up vibe.
For WNUR News, I'm Gabe Shumway.
As the school year comes to an end, I sat down with 3 freshmen who shared some thoughts about their first year at Northwestern.
May is upon us, which means that the end of the 2023-2024 school year is right around the corner. Seniors are picking up regalia, juniors are gearing up for summer internships, sophomores are trying to deal with the fact that they are halfway done with college, and freshmen are reflecting on their first year as a Wildcat. Northwestern's class of 2027 consists of 2,112 students, hailing from many different countries and walks of life. In order to gain a better sense of what their first year was like, I sat down with 3 freshmen, Sarah Campbell, Christopher Vai, and Aaron Honecker, who offered a few brief insights on their freshman year experience.
Oh gosh, freshman year was crazy. One big highlight was I joined a sorority in the winter and like have found my closest friends, and the whole experience has just been so filling and so much fun. That was probably the biggest highlight. And fall, like, there were so many mini highlights of just being able to try new things and explore campus more. I have the belief that all clubs here, besides like the Happiness Club, are way too exclusive and difficult to join. Because there's nothing like, if you're not the best or fully invested in something, it's very hard to do anything related to that within a club setting. So that was an unfortunate expectation that I was not able to live up to.
Oh, just like going to sporting events. I remember the Purdue game that I went to. That was really cool because they were ranked number one at that point. And it was just like, I know they beat them last year too, and then to see that happen again, like while actually being a student at Northwestern, was just such a cool experience to be a part of.
While some moments, like Northwestern basketball beating Purdue, defy all the odds, some things are manifested, expected, and then executed through hard work.
Well, I came into Northwestern with the expectation, like I know it was going to be hard, rigorous academically, and that is true, but at the same time, not as true as I thought it was going to be, which was a very nice expectation.
An expectation I had was I was going to be more social, I was going to go out more, I was going to have more fun, and I think I did that. Yeah, I went to those trips on Chicago, me and my friends had a lot of fun get-togethers, we would just do whatever. Honestly, we always get dinner together almost every night, so I think I succeeded in, like, being more social, like that expectation of like just my social life improving.
While freshman year aims to help students become acclimated to Northwestern, it would not be possible without some of the amazing resources Northwestern has to offer. These resources exist to help students in various areas of their lives, such as health and wellness, diversity and culture, career development, and safety and sustainability.
It was really nice to feel like I could ask like anyone any question if I needed help with something, whether that be like a professor, a classmate, or even just like someone on campus. They needed to like stop, be like, hey, like, do you know where this is? And like just my professors especially, like just how willing everyone was to like provide support, the amount of support and just like how well connected I felt to being a part of this Northwestern community is something that I'll definitely always be like thankful for. And it really helped like my transition to college, especially.
SES, Student Enrichment Services, which I think has just done a good job, like with all the events they hold and all the resources they have, just did a good job of making me feel this Big Ten school, this elite university is very accessible to someone like me.
While some freshmen have found success in their first year, others have more goals they wish to achieve in the future.
Definitely, I want to be more involved in extracurriculars. Like, obviously, like, starting college, I wasn't sure, like, necessarily, like, what my workload would be or, like, how much time I'd need to set aside to certain things. And it was really nice because I felt like the workload that I had with my classes, it never felt, like, unfair or anything. It always felt manageable, which is something I was really happy about. I think everyone, you know, like, going to college is like, oh, like, I'm going to Northwestern. Like, I know I'm going to like have to work hard, but it's like, I don't want to have to like sacrifice too many things. I really got into like a good groove in my classes. Like, I know how much effort things take and that I really want to start like putting more into like other things.
After experiencing their freshman year, I asked what advice they would give to incoming freshmen.
As for like academically, because I kind of came from like being obsessed with like being a straight A student in high school, so I kind of wanted to carry that into my college experience. Although I have been able to maintain super good grades, I find that like you just kind of have to, not, I don't want to say like care less, but you have to be more realistic because, you know, things are going to be difficult. If anything, I feel like I have a healthier relationship with school now because I'm kind of more realistic with myself rather than just like being like, I need to get an A on every single assignment all the time, you know?
Manage your time well in finding a balance between having fun, rest, and getting your work done. And also, a B is not the end of the world. And everyone you're around is probably gonna be like, I have all A's, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, just take a breath and try to enjoy and like maximize your time here while you're here.
Enjoy your last 2 weeks of the school year, Wildcats. For WNUR News, I'm Jessica Watts.
It's Friday, which means it's time for the concert countdown. Ella Barnes has got you covered for concerts this weekend.
Welcome to Concert Countdown, WNUR News' guide to upcoming shows in the Evanston and Chicago area. From Evanston Space to the Salt Shed and more, if you're looking for some live music this weekend, you come to the right place. Starting off local, the Ballroom Thieves and Corky Siegel's Chamber Blues are performing at Evanston Space. At Space this Friday, see the indie duo, the Ballroom Thieves. The duo is on tour with their fifth studio album, Stardust, that they describe as asking the question, what if it could all be a little more tender? Doors open at 7 and tickets range from just $18 to $22. At Space on Sunday, you can catch Corky Siegel's Chamber Blues. The ensemble is comprised of acclaimed musicians such as Corky Siegel, Jamie Gorgojo, and Chisuan Yang, playing music that is a fusion of blues and classical. Doors open at 6 p.m. and tickets are $25 to $40. Coming up in Chicago, we've narrowed our selection down to Portugal the Man and Microwave Night 2. Responsible for bangers like Feel It Still, Portugal the Man is taking the Nick Country Tour to the Salt Shed on Saturday. GA tickets start at $44. Microwave Night 2 is this Sunday at Concord Music Hall, presented by Riot Fest. Featuring the bands Origami Angel, Heart Attack Man, and Carpool Tunnel, it's sure to be a blast. Doors open at 6 p.m. and tickets are $29.95 in advance. Next, looking forward to next weekend, Megan Thee Stallion will be in town May 17th and 19th on her Hot Girl Summer Tour. She will be performing at the United Center on Sunday, May 19th, featuring Glorilla. The cheapest tickets start at $75 and the concert begins at 7 p.m. That's all we got for you this week. Tune in next Friday to find out about more concerts happening near you. For WNUR News, I'm Ella Barnes.
The weather this week is going to be changing a lot. Who's surprised? But among some clouds and rain, there will still be those few precious sunny days. While the sun is out, it's important to make the most of them. Find out why in this week's episode of Fairweather Friends. Juliet Allen reports.
Hi, I'm Juliet. Welcome back to Fairweather Friends. Each week, we give you a peek into the local and national weather. Maybe the real spring was the friends we made along the way. From Evanston, Illinois, this is Fairweather Friends.
Here's the weather.
Say what you will about Chicago weather, but at least it's consistent. Inconsistent. After Tuesday's showers, Wednesday's warm sun, and Thursday's chilly gloom, what could possibly be in store for the coming week? Well, it's looking like Saturday temperatures will stay on the lower side with a predicted high of around 60 degrees and a low of 48. The sun will be out with about 50% cloud cover. Sunday will also be partly cloudy, but a lot warmer, with highs in the mid-70s. Sunday night will usher in some early Monday showers with an 80% chance of rain the rest of Monday. The rest of the week should stay in the mid to upper 60s during the daytime, with varying cloud cover, sun, and precipitation. And with weather like this, it's in your best interest to take advantage of the sunny days whenever they come around. Did you know that there's a term for the feeling you get when you stay inside on a nice day? It's called sunshine guilt. That final end-of-quarter stretch kicking into gear will have a lot of people holding up in libraries. Try to avoid sunshine guilt by studying outside when possible. It'll do you a lot of good. Consistent sun exposure has tons of benefits, like improved sleep, better moods, and reduced blood pressure. It's also a great source of vitamin D. But what exactly does that mean? Well, to get a little scientific for a second, when the ultraviolet B rays emitted from the sun hit your skin, it converts a certain protein into an active form of vitamin D. On gloomy days, certain foods like fatty fish, oranges, and egg yolks are also good sources of vitamin D. But the National Institute of Health says that 5 to 30 minutes of sun exposure, even just twice a week, can provide enough vitamin D to give you all of its benefits. And there are a lot. To name just a few, vitamin D can boost your immune system, promote good teeth and bone health, and improve brain function. Of course, it's always important to be safe in the sun, so wear sunscreen, hats, and sunglasses to prevent unsafe exposure. And don't stay out too long. It is possible to have too much of a good thing. That's all for this week's edition of Fairweather Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, go out there and catch some rays. In Evanston, Illinois, Juliet Allen, WNUR News.
taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe. Earlier today, the House Committee on Education and the Workforce opened an investigation of Northwestern regarding its response to claims of anti-Semitism on campus. University President Michael Schill is set to testify before the committee on May 23rd, along with Rutgers University President Jonathan Holloway, Northwestern's former provost, and UCLA Chancellor Gene Block. Justin and Haley Bieber announced last night that they are expecting their first child together after nearly 6 years of marriage. The model, 27, is just over 6 months pregnant. The sex of the child is unknown to the public at this time. Toronto has been awarded a brand new WNBA team set to start officially play in 2026. It will be the league's first team outside of the United States and the 14th team in the WNBA. The team will be owned by Kilmer Sports Incorporated, headed by Toronto billionaire Larry Tannenbaum. Tannenbaum is a minority owner and chairman of the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which owns the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Raptors, among others. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR news stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our producer today is Paul O'Connor, and our reporters are Amelia Donhauser, Gabe Shumway, Juliet Allen, Ella Barnes, and myself. I'm Jessica Watts. Catch our next newscast Monday, May 13th. Now, back to scheduled programming.